5 years behind bars.
Blog Talk Radio.
For Ghislaine Maxwell, who's 60, the British socialite is pleading for leniency, claiming she had a tough childhood. She's seeking 4 to 5 years. Prosecutors say she's out of touch with reality and has done irreparable harm to the teenage girl she groomed for sexual abuse by Epstein.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Thanks, everyone, for baking your way here on this toasty morning. Are you all ready to jam? Excellent. Before we get rolling, let's start by hashing out everything bagel we'll be discussing. Profit margarines are okay, but they could maybe be butter. Sorry, I don't mean to waffle. Next quarter, it's all or muffin. Did you have a question, Sausage Patty?
My name's Patricia.
When you can't take your mind off breakfast, it matters where you stay. Delicious breakfast available at our Hilton family of brands. Hilton, for the stay.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. A gorgeous and sunny day we have in store for us today. Summer has finally arrived. Temperatures around 68, 69 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, lows back down to about 50. For Friday and the weekend, more sunshine and warmer temperatures. They're climbing out of the mid-60s to 80s by Sunday and even maybe 90 for Monday. We won't see that rain for quite a few days. Low temperatures for the next few days will also be in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We are excited about this 11 o'clock hour on Friday. And yet at the same time, we certainly miss Christine Upchurch. I think all of us do. But for those of you out there, it is so exciting to honor all of you and the journey that you've said yes to. And that is such an important thing for me to remember to do. It never gets old on me. You know, 20 years next year, and it's still not old on me that you're the best audience on the planet. There's by far the best. And special message, right? Let's give a special message, if we could, to Susie Hutchins, right, who sent us the card. You ready for this, Benny and William? Here we go. Susie, in your honor, I bought new rubber for my table tennis bat. In your honor, thank you for encouraging me to keep playing. See, I think my guest is like, am I on the right show? Who are these people? Well, let me I think she's got it going on. You cannot write a book like the book she wrote, and you cannot do the work like the work she does. You just can't, and not have a big fat smile on your face. I'm talking about Dr. Megan Rose joining me here today. We are really going to get into it because this is one of these books. Benny, you know I read all the books, right? Benny William, you guys know I do that, right? Yeah. But every once in a while, you get a book that you just need to keep close to you, right? It's one of these books that you pick up and you read it, and you're like, what? Spirit marriage, intimate relationships with otherworldly beings. Now, I'm reading this book. And I got taken back in time. And, Benny, I don't remember the year. I don't think you do either. But I got taken back in time to the first workshop Dr. Jean Houston did in her new leadership platform. So we were the guinea pig people. And a woman that I love, even in spirit, Dr. Angela Sarian, the time she was on the earth became my mentor. But this was my first initiation. I had been initiated in vision questing, but this is my first initiation into what Dr. Megan Rose is writing about here, right? And the foreword is written by Orion. But what I want to say about this is the minute we realize and are willing to put down, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just going to talk to myself. The minute that I was willing to put down my arrogance and my ego to think that the only thing that there was for me in accelerating and ascending was my earth skin. The minute that I could take that thought and say, you may not be your earth skin, Pat, but what about spirit marriage? It's such a, I mean, the idea is mind-blowing, and yet go back thousands and thousands of years and the stories we tell and visions and amazing things that we have seen and written about. I mean, seriously, every mummy movie that was ever generated had to do with this, right? So it's in our pop culture. But Dr. Megan Rose is going to talk to us about it's now everywhere. So what I love about this is she actually studied where I really wish I would have studied. She studied at Eat West Psychology, got a doctorate in that, California Institute of Integral Studies. And I'm not even going to get into all of that. But the minute that I read the book, I thought, oh, she has been initiated. She helps initiations. She is all about being that fantastic Shakta Tantric practitioner. She is a senior seer. She is. When I looked at all of that, and I picked up the book, I thought, am I going to be speaking with earth skin, Dr. Megan Rose, or spiritual entity, Dr. Megan Rose? Dr. Rose, great to have you.
Wonderful to be here. Guess what? You get both.
I hope they told you that we do have a little fun here. I hope Gail and folks have just said to you, that we talk about the serious nature of things, but we also really look at the multidimensional nature of spirit.
Yeah.
And if you grew up in certain religious practices, maybe you grew up with the idea that spirit was dark and punishing. Maybe. Maybe there's that's your experience. Or maybe you grew up with the idea there is an exploration and a practice and something that's highly relevant when we think about these connections we have. So why have we, for so long, avoided the conversation about spirit marriage?
It's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of layers there, I think.
Yes.
You know, you can look at that from an evolutionary perspective and the idea of humans. And I think my research really points to by these spirit beings, from the beginning of our species, right? But we're really at a tipping point right now on our planet. We face certain, you know, depending on who you talk to, we're facing a certain extinction of our species unless we sort of get it together and evolve our consciousness to the point of understanding that humans, right, are not the one right and only species on this planet to determine the fate of the planet and really understand that we need to step out of our anthropocentric worldview, which says humans are the peak of the pinnacle of creation, and step into more of what I like to call a sort of eco-psychological or Gaia consciousness perspective, which is we are but one of many players on the planet right now, with myriad levels of intelligence and consciousness. And my research is really rooted in an animist view of the planet. The planet is alive around us, and we are in dialogue and relationship with it from the tiniest little mycelium, right, to the largest oceanic bodies full of consciousnesses nested within consciousnesses nested within consciousnesses. And so, you know, spirit marriage is on a continuum of different types of relationships, right, that we can have with the other than human that we share our gorgeous planet with. And I truly believe that although these relationships have guided humanity from, you know, our many, many, many creation and origin myths transculturally talk about spirit marriages as one of the things that gave rise to Homo sapien, right, to the consciousness of humanity.
Yeah.
And I think that we're at another tipping point where these relationships are coming forward. They've never fully gone away. My research absolutely indicates that, you know, particularly in marginalized or subaltern practice, it's been alive and well, coming out of, you know, the African diaspora traditions and a lot of Earth-based indigenous spiritualities. And that's sort of another reason why they've been suppressed, because that we, you know, mainstream religion by and large suppressed a lot of those traditions and persecuted them. But that it's coming forward now, and we're having this conversation now, and I wrote this book because now is the time where we need to take another leap forward, right? As Barbara Marks Hubbard talks about, when
one of the things,
sapien, like consciousness, and instead of the we consciousness, the us.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I want to do, Benny, is let's hop over to break, because one of the things I want to just say before we go to break in support of Dr. Rose is, first of all, as Homo sapiens, we got in this game late. I just want to be very, very clear. We act as if we've been here all time. Like, we act as if the earth popped up and then, like, we came next. Oh, no. Oh, no. That is not what the science will tell us, right? Many, 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 many iterations of things happen. And I will say this before we go to break, that this is prevalent in our pop culture, and we just don't know it. Now, how do I know that? Okay, because I just get plugged in. But two things I want to leave you with for break. One, nobody can tell me that Greta Thunberg did not pop out of that womb being a young child growing into a young adult of consciousness, and is so attached to the energies and the spiritual nature of the planet, even death threats to her and her family would not stop her. The second thing I want to say is, when I asked Sister Michael Anthony and Bishop, I'm just going to call him Bishop Jones, in Catholic boarding school, they were married. What do you think they said to me, this wild child in Catholic boarding? What did they say to me? And then what did I say back to them? Let's take a short break. Dr. Megan Rose is here. We got so much to cover in this book. You know, her studies and her research, just fascinating. That's how you know when you've been called to do something, and then you step into the full blossom of what that is. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Feel just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with the Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio, as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belz on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Do you feel like you and your significant other have lost their initial spark? Then let Coach Martez and Wadrina guide you to strengthen your love and reignite that spark on the Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Understanding love, accepting truth, and changing perspective. For more information, make sure you go to dreambuilderscoaching.net. That is dreambuilderscoaching.net.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, Dr. Megan, before we jump ahead, tell people how they get a copy of this book and how they find out more about you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So Spirit Marriage is available at all major booksellers online and hopefully getting into stores. Although I guess it would be at some of the smaller stores because some of the larger booksellers don't have physical locations anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
And then also you can find out more about me at drmeganrose.com. And you can also go to spiritmarriage.com and there's a website just for the book.
I love, there's a couple of things in the forward I want to start with, and then I want to answer that question of what I said, what the way Sister Michael Anthony answered it. You know, there's a statement in the forward of the book that is by Orion. It's finally the time is now. The bottom line is that humans are moving rapidly into an age of expanded and fluid states of consciousness, and we must perceive the invisible relationships between visible things if we are to grow with our own destiny. We are human becoming. We are not finished growing in our understanding of healing, the intimate workings of our planet, the causes and cures for maladies likely induced by human technology, and actions that impact nature in ways we cannot see. See, this is like a statement of warning and yet a statement of hopefulness. Now, let's get to pop culture and let's say a little bit about religion. You know, when I asked Sister Michael Anthony, of course I'm very young, should have never been in the Catholic boarding school, but I asked him, are they married? Like, you know, my dad was getting, you know, right, the whole thing. And their answer was interesting to me, and I believed it, and I actually still believe it to this day. And the answer was, I'm married to God. That was the answer back then when I was a child. I don't know what the answers now are in the practice of Catholicism. You understand that at 6 years old, nobody told me that they couldn't be married to God. Hence, here we go, right? And that may seem like a benign example, but it's a very important example to make in one of the, you know, largest groups out there that believe that, and unless they've changed the thing like they did, you know, eat meat on Friday, they changed that. But unless they change this idea, this is embedded.
Yeah.
And why is that okay, but other forms that you have in the book not?
There you go. I mean, that's the age-old question, right? I like to say
it's
that
a big one.
I like to say that it is the practice that it's hidden in plain sight, right?
Yeah.
Which is one of the headings within the, or chapters of the book. Hidden within plain sight. It is there. We know about it because of the Catholic tradition of the nuns and the priests marrying Jesus or marrying the church. And that is, you're not the only person to have a monastic say that. I was being interviewed for Jeffrey Mishlove's New Thinking Aloud, and the interviewer said, I was told the same thing when I was in Catholic school as a child. I asked the nun, are you married? And she said, I'm married to Jesus.
Yeah.
So it is very much an understanding that it is a bonded commitment, and in their case, it tends to be more celibate, although if you go back a few hundred years and look at the Beguines, it was decidedly not a celibate practice, meaning there was erotic encounters that were happening between the monastics and Jesus. And so, you know, what I like to say is, you know, within the purview of Christianity has said, well, if you have contact with our group of spirits, you're okay. You know, you can talk to God, you can talk to Jesus, you can talk to the Holy Spirit, you can talk to even maybe some saints and angels, but anybody outside of this little, you know, in-group is dangerous or evil or bad or, you know, all these other things. And so when we step into this conversation, putting our sort of decolonialist and indigenous spirituality hats on, right? When we look through that lens, we realize pretty quickly that it is just another example of insider-outsider group thinking, and that there are, you know, and that's what I really, why I didn't focus on the Christian church, I mentioned it, but I really focused on these suppressed and marginalized spiritualities to show how it is alive and well transculturally on the planet in many, many different traditions and pretty much in every single continent, in every single culture.
Yeah, and you know, I brought it up because it was my real childhood experience. And that is a belief I hold to this day. I may not be practicing like I did as a child, but nobody came in to erase that belief for me. I remember the priest had a ring, right? He wore a ring. And so, of course, as a little child, he's got the ring. You want to know, like, who you're married to. But let's talk about what I read from the forward about us being ready now. Before Constantine, before putting words down that may or may not have existed, before BC, let's just say BC, there were many, 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 many practices, spiritual practices, accepting practices of both male and female spirits, energies, gods, goddesses, whatever you want to call them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our ancestors were pantheists. You know, they really understood that the world, they understood, as I was talking about, this animist view of the world being populated with many different spirits and many different intelligences. And the theurgic practices, right, the practices of having a committed relationship with a deity are there in the Hellenic accounts, they're in the Egyptian accounts, they're in, you know, and it varies culture to culture, because some cultures have a cosmology where there are deities, the Norse accounts, the Indic accounts, I mean, I could go on and on. And then there are cultures where the deities are maybe more part of an elemental or a natural manifestation of their relationship to earth, like the Dagara people in West Africa, Burkina Faso, West Africa. So we may call them gods. I use the term spirit because it's just sort of the broadest umbrella term that gets at this idea that these are non-physical human incarnations. We're talking about extraordinary or otherworldly intelligences that are yet nested within our world, right? And nested within our, you know, as a psychologist, I look at it as how are we embedded within these consciousnesses? And, you know, some people will argue or say, well, your folks are just making these beings up, right? They're imaginal or imaginary figures, or they're archetypal figures, or they're inner aspects. And then some folks will come down and say, no, these are absolutely externalized beings and deities that we're working with, or entities that we're working with. And I have more of a, it doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
You're nested within consciousnesses, within consciousnesses, within consciousnesses. And when we step out of thinking that we are the center, the focus, the most important consciousness on this planet, all of a sudden things get much more open and much more interesting in the kinds of conversations that we can have.
And, you know, this is really what really leads to this next point that I want to talk to you about, is because there are many layers of this, like you said, everything from looking at the difference between Haitian voodoo and New Orleans voodoo, everything about, you know, gender differences, if they even exist. But here's the thing that I love about this. You have so much detail and so much history in the book. It's fascinating. That's why it's not a first read book. You know, you have to go back to it. But there is a part of this book I want to talk to you about when we come back that's about embodying, we call it embodying the divine self within and without. And what I love about the way you present that is, in my interpretation of it, is, and I've been talking about this for years. I was talking about this since Avatar came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think I remember saying something like, what just happened there?
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody tap into what just happened there,
mm-hmm.
right? What did just happen there?
Mm-hmm.
If that was, forget about a spiritual ceremony, intervention, whatever you want to call it. But see, that was in our consciousness in order to create that. Mm-hmm. And people did not question that movie. Now, they may question the second one, right, when the child shows up, but there was so much spirituality in there and so much spirituality of marriage in there between what seemed to be an earthly and a non-earthly, right? This is now permeating our culture. It shows up in artwork. It shows up in movies. It's showing up in the television shows. It just keeps showing up. So it's the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Did spirit give us this vehicle so we can become more aware and accepting of it? Or did the vehicle become the initiator so that we can accept that which is already here? Let's take a short break. That I can't wait to hear what you got to say about that. When we come back, Dr. Megan Rose, drmeganrose.com, fabulous book, Intimate Relationships with Otherworldly Beings. Think about this. You've lost somebody that's passed, but they're on your mind. They're in your home. They're everywhere embodied in the energy of your space. They speak with you at night. What do you make of that? Well, Dr. Rose has got that to explain as well, because it's all covered here. Let's take a short break, Benny. William, we'll be right back.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Are both your life and mission passing you by? Are you wanting to step into the bigger reason why you're here?
I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection coach and host of the Be Happy Now show. It's possible to feel good to be you and to never burn out again. Hop on a free 20-minute clarity call with me to explore what life could be like if you could just say yes to yourself without the guilt. Go to ClaudiaSamSoulCoaching.com/yes. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the Conscious Parenting Community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dream. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Are you wondering who you are meant to be in this ever-changing world right now? Kelly Kay is a certified new paradigm multidimensional transformation energy healer, ready to assist you in this transformative process of expanding your consciousness. She helps you transmute your wounds and traumas into healing, growth, and wisdom, resulting in self-empowerment and freedom from fear. Visit enlightenedmedicine.com to learn more.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have you tune us in and turn us on. You know, there's so much we want to talk about today. But we really want to, you know, get to the place here that really addresses the issue of, you know, how you are in the world. But even more importantly, you know, to have a framework for what your experience is. And what I mean by that is, you know, the framework that may not put you into two sessions of therapy a week, but there might be an understanding that has been very acceptable for thousands of years. But here we are today, and thanks to Dr. Megan Rose, right? She's written a fabulous book, Spirit Marriage, Intimate Relationships with Otherworldly Beings. We see this play out in our pop culture. As a matter of fact, it played out before it was even our pop culture. There were so many records that have been indicated, whether they're glyphs, whether they're other things that have indicated that there's something in us as humans that enables us to go to the level of consciousness where we believe so strongly in that level of evolution. We don't say it. We don't write a book like Dr. Rose wrote, but we feel it. We believe it. We can't wait to experience in so many ways. And here we are. Great to have you here. Thank you again. And they can go to your website, drmeganrose.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Learn about me, and spiritmarriage.com is more about the book.
I was asking the chicken and the egg question, and really it's really one of these things. Einstein talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And he crossed the bridge of science and spirituality when he started to talk about imagination. And he started to talk about imagination as very, very powerful. You know, yes, information is powerful, but he started to talk about imagination. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he never really got to take it to quite that next level. Neither did Jung. But here we are today where we have the technology to represent imagery and vision and visions and consciousness and imagination to the point where it's really hard to tell people that particular spirit that just showed up on the big screen doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you know, if I put my esotericist hat on for a moment, there is this idea of the imaginal realm or the realm sometimes called the astral realm or the Akashic realms, and they're sort of precursory to physical reality, and they're where we practice or work things out or structure things or plan things, and it's pretty much accepted that in at least a more of an indigenous or eco-spiritual worldview, that is is real, right, as our physical world. It's just not, it doesn't have the same shaping and forming. What sometimes, if, you know, we want to look at it through a scientific lens, it's the fifth dimension or the sixth dimension and beyond, right? It's not bound by space or time like we are. And there is all sorts of interesting things that manifest in those realms. And one of the things that happens in those realms is contact with the imaginal or with the inspiring, the intelligences that inspire us. Plato and Socrates, right, talked about the daimon, the guiding or the tutelary spirit that inspired someone to write a play or a poem or sing a song or form a culture, right? And these spirits and our relationship with them can become very, very bonded. Socrates was so bonded to his daimonic intelligence that, you know, he wouldn't make major life decisions without its input, right? Without its guidance. And so, it gave rise to the idea of a genius, right? And Orion talks about this in his foreword as well, that the genius is what arises from that love space or from that intimacy, right, between the human and these extraordinary intelligences. And spirit marriage is simply stepping into a devotional relationship, a committed relationship. You know, there's lots of different instances of channeling and mediumship and communication with otherworldly beings through prayer or ritual or altered states of consciousness, whether in trance or in the dream state. And the marriage, and again, marriage is the term that I use because it's the most common understanding we have of what this kind of union, what this kind of commitment is. But it's not necessarily, although many cultures practice a spirit marriage ritual, which is, you know, similar to what you were talking about with the nuns. They mm-hmm. wear rings and there's vows and there's a whole ceremony around it. It is not necessarily like a marriage in that you're dealing with petty mundane jealousies or competition or whatever. It's much more this idea of a deeply devoted commitment to that relationality and the co-creative project, right? We talk about all these works of fiction and art and inspiration that arise, and typically they arise because that there is an individual who's inspired by some sort of numinous or extraordinary intelligence that moves through them. And, you know, lest you think that it's just in the realms of, you know, art or esotericism, Carl Jung had a very, very powerful daimonic intelligence, Philemon, that he attributed all of his major theories to. He said, all of my major theories came from these conversations with Philemon. And Rudolf Steiner, right, the anthroposophist, said that all of his teachings came from his relationship with these extraordinary beings that he, and, you know, and interestingly enough, in both of those cases, the families and the followers sort of suppressed those teachings.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jung admitted that, and I've talked about this a lot. There's this buried letter between Bill Wilson and Carl Jung, and Wilson waited 30 years to get back to Jung to thank him for literally creating the foundation of all 12-step programs by the fact that he really pointed to that the only thing that could help the alcoholic was the spiritual experience. That letter got built. It got buried. And, you know, it showed up in certain historical archives of the 12-step programs. But now the Internet, right? Mm-hmm. And then the letter comes up. And you can read in the letter where Jung is admitting he could have done more. He really talked about the spiritual experience, and he could have done more. But he didn't talk to about it as something that is out of the realm of the everyday person. He talked about it as, you know, this process that every single one of them must have at some level. And I find it fascinating that we're so quick to put boundaries and restrictions on things, right? Even what we think about, you know, even the idea that something exists that we cannot see but is guiding us, right?
Well, and, you know, we here in the West are suffering a sort of under the past, you know, few hundred years of rationalist scientistic thinking, right? This sort of scientific materialism that says if you can't break something down to measurable bits and bytes, it doesn't exist. And that is a very Western worldview. You step outside of, you know, really the United States and some of the, you know, more Western oriented cultures, and every other culture on this planet has much deeper, much more animistic tendencies. And so it is very, it is very sort of colonialist of us to say, well, we know what we've decided, we know this is what's right. Everybody else is right. You hear again and again, primitive cultures and third world and all of these things that we've decided, right, that our worldview based on our agenda really is right. And so to really begin to deconstruct and understand that actually some of our major thinkers had these kinds of extraordinary relationships, I think it's really exciting because it sort of helps us sort of, you know, open up a little bit and kind of get curious and think, where have I been limiting myself? You know, Jung's active imagination is just another way in which we do journey work, right? We do guided visualization work, and you know, we love our science here, and science is wonderful for certain things, but proving the soul or the heart or love or these intangible things like devotion and commitment and all of these things, they can't be broken down into quantifiable units.
Yeah, I want to just talk to you. I wish you would address this because I think I read it somewhere in the book. It's really fascinating that as children and we grow up, especially in today's world where there's so much about superheroes, supernatural. I mean, it is not the exception as it was a while ago, right? You know, a while ago, the first Dracula movie just put people, you know, made them all crazy. Now, seriously, right? I was talking to a young woman I mentor, and the height of the conversation was, because we chit-chat and then we do work, she was like, do you think Kate Beckinsale is going to do another Celine vampire movie? And I said, you know, if they give her the right script, they will. She said, but they have to do it, because there's a child involved now. So you see how this fictional is very real for this young person. Right? The whole thing about it is very real.
Well, I mean, I like to say that our pop culture is mythology and folklore. That was the pop culture for our ancestors, the mythology, the folklore.
Exactly. Thank you.
So what we look now back on as the gods and the goddesses and these beings that our ancestors looked at as contemporary to them. I like to think that, you know, anthropologists, religious studies scholars, 200-300 years from now, or maybe even 1,000 years from now, will look back on this time and look at Superman and Batman and all of these different extraordinary characters, right, that we fill our lives with and that we spend so much time and energy devoting attention and worship in a way to. Even our rock stars, even our celebrities fall into this category, and that they will say, oh, those were their deities, right? And there's a way in which, so that sounds, you know, like, oh, well, then that's just goofy. That doesn't make sense. But there's actually, if you think about it, there is something that is being teased out through these stories, because that the writers of many, you know, let's just take the comics, for example, they're pulling from mythologies. They're pulling from archetypal figures. And so whether a being shows up as, you know, a Superman, I mean, they very skillfully crafted Superman as a Jesus figure, even in, you know, the more recent Superman movies with Henry Cavill, where he's in the sky looking like a Jesus hanging on a cross. I mean, that blew my mind when I saw that, because I was like, there you go. He's an extraordinary being that comes from another planet, that is raised in the human framework, but is not, you know, but has these divine powers. And so, you know, I do have clients that reach out to me and say, you know, so I think I'm being contacted by this deceased rock star. I don't know what to do about it. And yet, you know, I know that spirit marriage is a thing, and I know that marriage to, within the purview of spirit marriage, you can be married to a beloved dead and a beloved ancestor. And so what I encourage them to do in those cases is to, if you look at it, if you want to look at it through the lens of an ancestor, you know, ancestor worship and ancestor veneration is a widespread practice on the planet. You can look at it through that lens, but you can also look at it through an archetypal deity lens, meaning like, I know someone that is having encounters with David Bowie and David Bowie's spirit. And I was like, To just bring in the divine self, I was like, who do you think David Bowie's divine self was, right? Who do you think his archetypal spirit? And they're like, oh, it was totally Hermes, right? Hermes, the hermaphrodite, the trickster, right? The shapeshifter, this energy that is, you know, both masculine and feminine and an androgen. And they're like, I think I'm having a relationship with Hermes via the Bowie figure, and it can be a both and, or it can be that that deity archetype is flowing through to you and getting your attention in that kind of way.
And you know, I love that you're talking about that, because I think no matter who you talk to, I think on the face of the earth, they will tell you that some information entered their consciousness, and they're not quite sure who or how, may have come from a song they heard. Hello, you hear a song, and then what do? You wake up and you think, oh my gosh, I left my car running. Really? How did you get? But we do. I want to get to, I know we have a few minutes left. You bring us full circle. You give us so much to really think about and look at, and you explain it. But you talk about the future and the future of spirit marriage. I'm curious, from your perspective and where you sit, how much progress have we made in acceptance here? Because there, at some level, we're infiltrating the consciousness of generations to come through the way we're projecting books, imageries. I mean, who didn't want to marry Voldemort? I'm just kidding. I have my moments. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that was a character, right? And really presented a very spiritual character. Maybe dark, but spiritual. But
yeah.
Tell us about the future from where you sit. Where do you see us going?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people ask me, okay, well, I don't have a spirit that is asking to marry me, because that is usually sort of the protocol for this. The spirit or the deity will appear or to you or to another person, like a mentor or a spiritual teacher of yours, and say, I want to marry so-and-so. And if that's not happening, That does not mean that these practices aren't applicable to you. We all have a divine self, right? We talk about archetypes, we talk about tutelary and familiar spirits, and we all have these beings around us, whether we're sensitized to them or not. And so we all have a divine self that we are here to express qualities of, and that co-creative project that we could potentially do with them. And so I think that a lot of these stories and the popular culture and the reclaiming of myths and the rise of and the embrace, right, of subaltern or previously marginalized spiritualities like, you know, shamanism and witchcraft, and the more pagan spiritualities are finally being included in, you know, like the Academy of Religious, you know, the AAR, and other conversations, is evidence that, you know, we're finally stepping into a little more inclusivity and a little more embracing of other ways of knowing and other ways of being. And spirit marriage is still on the margins, right? It's still a very transgressive and very sort of head-scratching practice for a lot of people, even within paganism, even within earth-based spirituality.
Right.
Unless you're raised like in a tradition like voodoo, where from a very early age that is, you know, just part of the waters that you swim in. I mean, that's a practice front and center in those traditions. But in a lot of pagan circles, it's still like, oh, we don't do that. We don't marry the spirits. And I think that that is sort of a leftover of, number one, not really knowing the prevalence of the practice, and so it kind of scares people a little bit. And then number two, our own assumptions about eroticism and intimacy and what is actually going on there. And I mean, that's a whole other conversation we could have around erotic spirituality.
Yeah.
But, you know, suffice it to say, not everything that registers as erotic in our body is meant to be sexual.
Yeah. And by the way, erotic spirituality, this is not new. You see, the minute we call it that, that, like, people are like, really? That thing that happened over there, that's really it? But you see, this is really so wonderful about your book, is you not only reference, you know, the knowledge and the wisdom and the accuracy of what has come before, but it's really foundational for allow people to look at themselves and honor what they're experiencing, as opposed to being shamed about it. See, I think that's the thing that, I mean, there's nothing worse than guilt and shame of oneself to really just crush the spiritual energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times what happens is, you know, when we come in contact with extraordinary beings, there's a vitalizing aspect to it. It puts our body into exaltation, right? It lights us up like a Christmas tree. And for people who have shame or wounding or trauma around their vital center, which is typically, you know, we typically think of sexuality and vitality in our pelvis, right? Like, we locate it down there, but it's actually, you know, from the tantric perspective and the just the sort of, I mean, this shows up in Taoist alchemy, sexual alchemy, and on and on and on. Our entire bodies, right, are able to channel this vitalizing or express this vitalizing force that is, in essence, a kind of quickening or a kind of activation that happens between humans and divine or otherworldly beings. And it is part of, I think my research really points to, it is part of that, as you referenced, that initiation or that initiatory practice, which transforms us, mm-hmm. right, which quickens us, which mm-hmm. awakens and activates us. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of the technology that will get us, as we were talking about earlier, through the homo universalis consciousness.
It brings on
our extrasensory.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because look at, you know, generations. I come from a generation where I was not restricted, you know, by my mom, my stepmom, about my fascination with comic books.
I mean, I was, at a very young age, I was reading them. I was drawing the characters from them. I understood them at a very young age. You know, my dad, on the other hand, just thought I was need to go to Dr. Jacoby. But my mom was, this is a form of creativity. See, and we empower our children to explore that, generally speaking. Some religions are like, you will never look at Iron Man. You will not do that. That's not going to happen. And you clearly are not going to...
Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah. And you're clearly not going to look at any gay superheroes. That's just out of the realm of this lifetime for you. But you see, outside of that, we're actually promoting a level of imagination which will get to the future that you described, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when we allow... So, and I think this is actually a beautiful thing that's been happening in the late 20th and early 21st century, and that is the permission for adults to play and to imagine and to, you know, the comic books used to be a thing just for kids. And,
that's right.
And science fiction, Star Wars, it used to be a thing just for children, and now there are, you know, adults in their 50s, 60s, and beyond that are huge fans, right, the fan culture of these pop cultural tropes or stories that keep that part of us alive and that speak to that part of us that says, you know, maybe I could be a mutant. Maybe there's something that I'm here to evolve into that is more than just, and people really identify with that because there's a kernel of understanding that we're meant to be something more than just meat suits that punch a clock every day and, you know, and procreate.
And, you know, we know that at the very core of our being. We've been in search of it for centuries, right? And we know that at our very core of our being. But what you do in your book so beautifully is you give us a framework to be both of the earth and not of the earth. At the same time, simultaneously. And that really is so important because that really is our experience. You know, you can't tell a mom who's driving down the road and sees a car coming head on with her child in the background that for that moment, she doesn't experience both. You know, the ultimate request for protection of that which she cannot see, right? And yet all of the fear that goes through our bodies in an incident like that.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. People become very spiritual in moments of crisis, right?
Yeah. That's a good reason for, like, why I kicked up my spiritual program. Dr. Rose, thank you so much. Again, give out your website. Thank you so much for today.
Yeah, drmeganrose.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Thursday to you. Betty Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Well, up on Highway 2 eastbound, just west of Homemakers Road, around the first milepost, a recent collision partially blocking the right-hand lane. Good thing, though, State Patrol has arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that collision. Again, that's Highway 2 eastbound, just west of Homemakers Road, around the first milepost. But that's all right. Stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Unapologetically Favored with your host, Courtney Cottrell.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is voicing his disappointment with the Supreme Court's ruling striking down New York's concealed carry law. Biden said the decision contradicts both common sense and the Constitution. The court's conservative majority prevailed with a 6-3 ruling that said people can carry handguns for self-defense. New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy is responding to the decision.
New York's law required people to show proper cause to get a license to carry a concealed handgun outside of their home. Governor Murphy said, let there be no mistake, this dangerous decision will make America a less safe country. He added, moving forward, New Jersey will work to ensure that the state's gun safety laws are as strong as possible.
A bipartisan gun safety bill has cleared a final procedural hurdle in the Senate.
Senators voted to push the measure to a final vote, perhaps as early as today or tonight.
On this vote, the yeas are 65, the nays are 34. The motion is agreed to.
The measure was crafted after recent deadly mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. The White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator under former President Trump says he downplayed COVID.
That concise, consistent communication about the seriousness of the pandemic resulted in inaction early on, I think, across our agencies.
Deborah Birx, testifying before the House Coronavirus Subcommittee, said communication about the seriousness of the virus resulted in inaction early in the virus's spread. She criticized some of the language Trump administration officials used, like containing COVID, which Birx said was inaccurate because a virus cannot be contained. Nike is exiting the Russian market completely. Michael Kastner reports.
The decision by the sneaker giant comes after it suspended operations in the country back in March following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It told customers that product shipments couldn't be guaranteed. In a statement, Nike said its priority is to ensure it fully supports its employees as it begins to scale down operations. Nike operated more than 100 stores in the country.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hey, you see Tony's face?
Yeah, he's using one of them dollar-shaped club six-blade razors with six stainless steel blades for a close shave. His face is as smooth as a river rack.
Smooth as a nice olive oil.
Like a bowling ball.
Like silk pajamas.
Like a seal down at the aquarium.
Like a ball of wax.
Wax job?
Hey, no one said nothing about a wax job, okay? Quit being a wise guy.
Dollar Shave Club. For a noticeably smooth shave. Find us in stores and at dollarshaveclub.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. A gorgeous and sunny day we have in store for us today. Summer has finally arrived. Temperatures around 68, 69 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, lows back down to about 50. For Friday and the weekend, more sunshine and warmer temperatures. They're climbing out of the mid-60s to 80s by Sunday and even maybe 90 for Monday. We won't see that rain for quite a few days. Low temperatures for the next few days will also be in the mid-50s.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Get ready for inspirational, motivational, purpose-driven conversation with Courtney Cottrell and Dr. Pat Basile. This is Unapologetically Favored, a show where you will learn to be yourself, love yourself, and walk in your purpose without fear or worry. Courtney is a leader of many and a friend to all. She is a passionate speaker, author, and 21-year active duty Master Chief with the United States Navy. Here to show you that obstacles are everywhere. But the moment you stop letting your setbacks define you, you start to see yourself in a brilliant new light. Find your confidence, own your power, and never apologize for who you are. Unapologetically Favored starts now.
I love that opener.
I love that opener, too.
I love that.
Seems so powerful.
I love that.
So, yes.
I was thinking Master Chief. Is it Master Chief?
Yes, Master Chief.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to do some updates because it's been 23 years this year.
Whew.
You know what?
Look at you,
sometimes
though.
Your biggest losses can be your biggest wins. That is
Let's
what
talk
you
about
kept
that. That's
me.
Today's show, isn't it?
Oh, and that is today's show. I was sitting there contemplating and thinking, what are we going to talk about today? I have
That's
so
a good
much.
One.
And the things that I've been kind of experiencing, you know, with the shifts in my life and the changes in my life, I thought this would be the perfect topic because going into the new year, you know, we have this new slogan now, you know, renew you in 2022, right?
That's right.
I said this would be a good thing to talk about to help start the mind shift for people so that when they're looking at things as they're going through trials and tribulations, they're not looking at it as a loss. They get to the other side and realizing, oh, it was a purpose for this. there was a plan for this, and I have a story I want to share later on.
I want you to get right at it, because part of what I love about this topic is one of the things we always do, and that is we become our own worst enemy. And you're going to talk about that, because, I mean, the key, though, which you're going to share today, is if we can get in the groove of discovering we are doing this,
right,
that we are becoming our own worst enemy, if we could, oh, there I am again, and stop it.
Right.
Oh. So,
right.
Not that you have any experience in this at all, but has there ever been a time where lost it, not a good experience?
Oh, definitely. I actually had a mental breakdown, and my coworker thought I was crazy because I had gotten to the point where, and I share this story, you know, in my memoir, Unapologetically Favored, I share this story, how I had that mental breakdown because I was judging myself and comparing myself to others. And I tell people, you cannot measure what you're going through looking at somebody else using their measuring stick. It doesn't work that way. But because we have this, we all strive for perfection. When I do coaching, I'll ask, you know, what is your version of perfection? What does that mean to you? Because for some people, perfection could be, I just threw the covers back on my bed. Somebody else just, you know, reality of perception could be, I did the 45 angled sheets with the fitted sheets. I put my covers back. I fluffed my pillows. I threw my decorative. That's their perception of perfection. But we get into a habit of thinking perfection means zero flaws, zero defect. There is not a zero defect world out there at all. And we have to accept that. But that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to do.
It is hard. And yet at the same time, it sets us up for failure after failure after failure.
Oh, yeah.
And I love using the word failure. I get so many emails from some of my colleagues that they say I'm obsessed with the word. I said, I don't know how to sugarcoat this the way people feel. You know, yeah, we could call it slip-ups. Yeah, we could call it down a court. But we know. I mean, look. Tell an Olympic athlete that's playing a sport and coming down that ski slope or snowshoe, which I'm going to come back in my next life. That's what I'm going to be doing. Coming down in their snowshoe, and they're in first place, and they're holding on to that. And the next person comes down by 1/100th of a point.
Right.
Try to tell them you're still a winner, even though you didn't win the gold. Now,
right.
I know we try to say that to people, but what that person does with that experience is all what makes the difference in their future, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, it's so crazy that you say that, because I had a conversation with a young man yesterday, and I said, you never let your past experiences define who you are today. That does not mean anything. What matters the most is how you rise up out of that dark place, how you rise up out of your mindset, because in your head, you're not the perfect individual. But again, there is no perfect individual. You're perfect according to what you think your perfection is. But don't overthink it. There is, your past does not define who you are. How you handle it, how you deal with it, how you use that as a stepping stone towards your future, that is what defines you. And I had a story where at one of my commands a couple of years ago, you know, I failed a fitness weigh-in. We had to get weighed in. And there's certain criteria, certain, you know, this weight that according to your height, you have to weigh a certain amount, which I think they need to go back and relook at that. That's kind of. But anyways, and I didn't meet the mark. So I failed it. I remember that day I walked in and talked to my supervisor, and I was in tears because I wanted to be that perfect senior chief at the time. I wanted to be that perfect leader, the perfect, you know, motivator, influencer, mentor towards the junior sailors. And I remember talking, and I was like, you know what, this is not me. But I was tore up on the inside because self, you know, like let down or that disappointment, it really hurts. And I went to talk to one of my good girlfriends, and she looked at me, she said, Courtney, I need you to pull your head out your butt. You're going to have this one day. You're going to get over this, and tomorrow you're going to hit the deck running. You're going to come back. You're going to do your job. You're not going to let nobody see you sweat. You're going to pick up the pieces. You're going to keep moving. And I said, you know what? As bad as I wanted to sit in traffic that day, I was like, you have a good point. Because people are watching you. They're going to be watching you to see how you handle the situation, how you handle your circumstance. How are you getting – they want to know how are you going to climb over this mountain that you have just created. It's all in how you handle it. You have to bounce back. Your comeback should always be strong.
Yeah, I love that we're talking about this because you really are on the pulse of what people are experiencing right now inside of them. And I was just talking to somebody earlier today at a previous show, and we were talking about pent up, like that pent up, you know, that pent up stuff.
Yes.
And what you're talking about today is when we, your biggest loss can become your biggest blessing.
Right.
But you have to do something.
Right.
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 You cannot be walking around like a time bomb.
Or woe with me.
Oh, that's a good one.
You cannot do the woe with me. Because, and I remember a couple of episodes we were talking about, like, the new generation and this instant gratification, and I call it the Amazon Prime era, where people want you to deliver what they want when they want it. That's not how life works. You get out of life what you put into it. If you, you know, you hit a roadblock, that's fine. You're not the only one to do it. You're not the first one to do it. You will never be the last to do it. You pick yourself up. You look at that sale as your first attempt in learning. You learn that lesson in it, and you say, you know what, that hurt. You remember how it made you feel on the inside, your emotion, the disappointment. You're like, I'm not doing that again.
Mm.
You know, and that's the part that we need to get through. People need to learn that resiliency piece to bounce back so they're not criticizing when they are, you know, hitting a roadblock or they're not feeling like they're less than because they hit that one point in their life where it might be a little difficult. You know, we've all been there. How you handle it without, you know, that self-judgment, that's what's going to define you.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're even talking about this. For those of you just tuning in, let me just tell you right here. Unapologetically favored Courtney Cottrell, Courtney A. Cottrell. This is about walking your purpose.
Oh,
but
yes,
we're talking
always
about something that all y'all right now can really appreciate. Your biggest loss can be your biggest blessing. Why did Courtney pick this for today? Well, one reason is we are not, like, oblivious to the fact that people have lost things here in these past 24, 28 months. So that's number one. But how can we learn from Courtney? How can we learn about how to look at that loss and turn it into something? Okay, here we go. Let's talk about what our own worst enemy looks like. But, Benny, we're going to skip the break. Let's talk about a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Here's the deal. My 11th birthday, on December 11th, on my 11th birthday, my mom, loved my mom, but we didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is getting my birthday gift and gets caught shoplifting. And off we go to the jail.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not kidding. And, like, I don't understand all the paperwork and everything and what happened. I think my dad actually paid him off, to be honest with you. But that was it. And so we're getting ready to leave, and I turned to the master sergeant at the desk, and I said, can you give me my birthday gift that my mom got? And actually, my mom didn't buy it. I said, well, I want to take my birthday gift home. And he looked at me, and he said, I can't give that to you. I said, but that's my birthday gift.
Oh.
And he said something like, but you didn't buy it. You got that illegally. And I looked at this cop, and I got cops in my family, and I said, I don't care. I said, I have $1.50, and I will pay you for my birthday gift. Now, what has that story got to do with any of this? That is a young person not buying into my poor mom.
Right.
Who, I don't know what possessed my mom. My mom laughed about it later, and she said, I think the devil made me do it. But whatever that was, as a child, I must have learned I could either be mad at my mom, whatever that anger is.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the master at shifting energy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk with you. Unapologetically favored means that.
Oh, yeah.
And it means that there's a whole lot of things we can learn about who we are, what we do. So I want to ask you this. A reason, a season, a lifetime.
Yep.
How does how we handle each of those shape whether we get the life we want or we get a life we really don't want?
That's all, yeah. Oof, man. So yesterday I had a conversation with a young man, and he was going through some things to the point that he contemplated suicide Friday night. So I wanted to talk to him because I get it. And one of my conversations with him was everybody's given a bag in the beginning of their life. You have a bag, I have a bag, everybody has a bag. The size of that bag depends on the experiences, the emotions, and the people that you meet throughout your life. The more things you have been through in your life, no matter how old you are, your bag could possibly be heavier than my bag. The more people that I have acquired through my journey in life can make my bag heavy. But as you go on this journey of life, you have to understand that you can't carry everything in this bag with you for the rest of your life. At some point, you have to sit this bag down, open it up, and say, you know what? This individual, it was fun while it lasted, but you are no longer serving a purpose in my life. Cut them off. This experience that was negative and it hurt, I have healed from this. I don't want to dwell on it no more. It's not doing me any good. It's not good for my mental or physical health. I make amends. I forgive you. Get rid of it. These emotions, this anger that you've been hanging on to for so long, this fear you've been hanging on for so long, this relationship you've been hanging on, this dead-end job, the whoever these friends are leading you down the road, you got to cut them off. Because everything is not meant to be a part of your life permanently. They have a reason or a season, or possibly you'll end down to that one friend that you're going to have for a lifetime. But you have to sit back and analyze your life to figure out who or what those things are that no longer serve a purpose in your life. Because that's what could possibly be holding you back from your biggest lesson, your biggest win, your biggest, that's what's holding you back. And we're scared to cut people off or, you know, just get rid of what's no longer serving us because we have an attachment. Or you are so, you know, you've already been hurt one time. You don't want to hurt again by letting it go because now you're vulnerable. You don't want to experience that pain again for the second time. So you just keep pushing it down, pushing it down, pushing it down. But that is why you can't get ahead. Make that loss happen so you can get that blessing in your life that was meant for you. Hanging on to things are blocking you from reaching the top. That biggest loss, it's going to hurt. But in the end, it's going to turn out to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. A reason, a season, or a lifetime, everybody's not supposed to, they're not meant to go with you through it, your entire life. So that is where, you know, that's where I got that from. I thought about that. Like, people need to understand that. It means a lot. But it takes self-evaluation for you to get through that piece.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to ask you about this because you've been through it. So you're not just talking from some textbook and on the show.
Right.
You're talking with people because you work with people to help them understand that, you know, stuckness can be a state of mind and nothing more than that, but you got to have some tools.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so, you know, let's talk about for a minute what you've created with Unapologetically Favored and what has inspired you to create more tools for people, more tools, more books, right? Because you're not done. Right? You're on a roll because there are more people now that feel that they're stuck than ever been.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's bad because the last 2 years have kind of uncovered that. The last 2 years has revealed a lot to people that before, because they were constantly going, they didn't realize their self-worth. They didn't realize where they were at that moment. They didn't realize, you know, where their children were at or the person they were married to or the relationship they were in. It has revealed a lot to a lot of people. And I have taken all of the stories, the friends, the conversations I've had, and just said, you know, people need to keep being fed. They need that motivation. They need to understand that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be scared to cut loose the things that have meant so much to you. I get it. But at the same time, where are you going to take that next step to elevate your life, to elevate your inner peace, to elevate who you're supposed to be in life? You know, hanging on to, if you hang around dead people, you're going to eventually die yourself.
Yeah.
So it's all in the company you keep. It's all in what you do. But unapologetically favored opened a door. It opened my third eye, so to speak, to what people really need, the feedback that I get, which kind of, you know, rolled in. I'm throwing out my third book. But, you know, it rolled into my third book was Never Be Afraid to Eat Alone. And I talk about, you know, your biggest loss being your biggest blessing or your biggest win in life in there. And if it's not, then what's holding you back from making that happen? If you were to, where would you be had you let go or forget give a long time ago? How much peace would you have right now? And that's the question. Are you ready to let go what's been holding you back? Can you do it?
Hmm. You know, I love talking to you because I got to tell you what. I mean, I know we get to spend this time together and you're sharing your strength, experience, and hope with a whole world of people right now.
Oh, yes.
But you're fired up about it. And we need that. You know, and so it doesn't surprise me that you're fired up writing another book, that you're out there. But every day you are still in the world being you, and you have a lot of different hats. No pun intended. Right? I love that.
I love my hat.
I love that hat. But, and what I mean by that is for people that missed the opener, right, when we were talking about it, and you were being introduced, you know, it introduced you as an active duty United States Navy Master Chief.
Oh, yeah.
But you're also somebody that's taken decades of that military experience,
mm-hmm.
and you've created an inspirational, motivational, purpose-driven
mm-hmm.
organization, platform for coaching, and have taken us to the level of where we don't have to apologize.
Right.
But we do have to fit into mm-hmm. the gift of being favored. Tell mm-hmm. us about that.
So I just want people to not be scared to be who they truly are.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be scared to be who you truly are. And that means acknowledging the flaws and not being self-critical and self-judgmental and measuring what you have or don't have against somebody else who may have or may not have. You know, you got to be your own individual because everybody else is taken. You can only be you. You know, you can't be somebody else. That person is that. You have to be you. Don't be scared to step out and be different. But the thing is, with being different, it brings attention. And sometimes it might not be the attention that you want, so people want to have that good feeling attention. But who cares if it's negative,
yeah.
you know? And I told the young man I talked to yesterday, I said, you know, I live life by the six Fs. And for most of my proteges and my peers and people that know me, they know my six Fs. I can't really give them here, but, you know, we'll talk offline. But I tell them if people don't deal with your immediate emotions, you know, your bills, your money, your family, why are you letting them influence how you feel?
Yeah, exactly.
Never be scared to step out on a limb. Never, because, again, that goes back to you are blocking your blessing because you're trying to be somebody else. But you weren't meant to be that person. You were meant to be exactly who you are. Your life has a purpose. You need to figure that. But you will never know what it is pretending to be somebody else. Don't apologize for it. Stop being scared to be who you truly are. If people don't like you, that's fine. Life is still going to go on. But
I love that you're talking about this because one of the things that you pinpointed is this idea of running away from self-truth. How does that show up? Okay, so here you are. I'm just going to give you an example. I want you to mm-hmm. comment on these two things. Here you are. You're in a 12-step program. You have 5 years of sobriety. Your family invites you over. Everybody's around the table, and they're trying to give you a drink. And your answer to them is,
one of about 50 answers that you thought over in your mind, every single one of them except the truth.
Right.
And the agony that you go through by coming up with answers that are going to please other people instead of telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
those will bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what we're talking about today, right? I mean, here you are. You're out with people or you know people and you get to learn how different we are, but you also learn we're all part of the same thing. We have different interests. We have different priorities and different motivations.
Right.
But the one thing we have in common, we're not perfect.
Nope. Not by a long shot. And I was, you know, I love my Brene Brown. I'm going to meet her one day. She doesn't know it, but I'm going to find her. But, you know, she talks about fitting in is about assessing the situation and becoming who you need to be accepted. Because it's like you're having to change who you are just to fit in with those people. If that's what you have to do in your life to feel like you're a part of something, then you're not where you belong. You are not where – if you belong somewhere, you will never have to alter your appearance, change your accent, do anything. Nope, you would never be pressured to be anything than who you genuinely, unapologetically are. That's when you belong. But as soon as you start having to modify anything about you, your life, you're just fitting in and you don't belong there. You do not belong there.
I want you to talk about this before we go to break, and that is this famous or infamous ideal perspective. I love perspective because I love it in the arts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I love, like, avant-garde art where you mm-hmm. see people, like, two people looking at the same painting. One person says it's a ghost. The other person says, oh, that's my mother. But whatever it looks like, there's a perspective
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm.
In the art world, there are many debates, much dialogue, and they they're going to debate and dialogue on perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, here we are, human beings, every day of our life, and we just can't wrap our minds around that somebody is different but not less than.
Oh, yeah. And I was thinking about the girls' trip that I did in December. I went down to Miami with a group of girls, and we're on vacation. And so pretty much everybody that was there, we were all active duty military or either retired military. And there were two young ladies there. They were a civilian, and the difference between those two individuals and the rest of us, it was kind of overwhelming. It was like, oh, wow, never really thought about that. And I had one of my girlfriends, she said, you know, the one thing about the military is that you make friends from different ends of the spectrum, all different walks of life, backgrounds, religions, race, creed, sexuality, it doesn't matter. You're going to meet somebody. But all those people are not meant to go everywhere. You can't take everybody everywhere. Sometimes where you meet somebody is exactly where they need to stay. They're not supposed to go on trips with you. They're not supposed to meet your family. It's all in how you look at it. But you have to see that. That has to be your perspective. That has to be your reality. You have to see that and figure out who can you take where, because everybody can't go with you. Everybody cannot go with you. They're either there for a reason, a season, or possibly a lifetime.
Yeah.
Depending on where they fit in your life.
Yeah. Look, we got lots more to talk about today.
Yes.
For those of you out there, give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, what do you do when you find yourself in a situation and you need to figure out how to be yourself, how to stand tall, even if somebody perceives your life as an epic fail? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to expand and move forward and create the love in your life that you truly desire and deserve? Specializing in consensually non-monogamous and polyamorous relationships, Elizabeth Cunningham works with all people who want to expand and grow the love they have in their lives. Contact Elizabeth for more information on love coaching and applying for her online course, Love Deeper, at ElizabethCunningham.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the diamond dowsing method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
To awaken your magic within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Give me the Chaka Khan version, or give me some other version of that.
No, that is actually a remix with Whitney Houston.
Okay, that'll work for me. That's gonna work for me.
You're welcome.
I love you, Betty. I love you. Look, we're here unapologetically favored with Courtney Cottrell. Walk in your purpose. Every show that Courtney does, every move she makes is towards that end. And part of it is, you know, the ability, right, the ability to be a United States Navy Master Chief and come to the forefront and say, I have learned a few things and I'm still learning a few things.
Every day.
But here's where we are. If you're going to be a leader in whatever tribe you're in,
mm-hmm.
you better have a sense of what to do when you're hit with the big loss.
Oh, yes.
And to see the biggest blessing in it.
Because the higher up you go, the more everybody's watching you. I was going to say the other half, but I changed
They are watching you. What's up with that? But, you know, I share with you that little example about the shoplifting and my mom, and I so got over that, right? I understand the emotional part of that, but I so got over that that I demanded that gift be given to me.
Right.
Right. I can't even tell you what the gift is because I never got it. And whatever that $1.50 or whatever it was I offered, it was not going to be given to me. But I walked out of there. We went out to get White Castle burgers that you get in the Bronx. I love them. Sorry. I loved them as a kid. I ate 10 of them, just saying. Actually, I ate 11 of them. I stopped at 10, and then I was like, oh, my birthday, and then, like, okay. But the point that I'm making is this. If you don't let go, and I want you to define this for us.
Oh.
If we do not learn the ability to let go,
yep.
We will not be able to fully embrace the life that's about to happen, nor will be able to attract it. Tell us about the power of letting go. What did you learn from it?
We have to let go and let life happen. Like, period. You have to let go and life happen. See, we want to control everything because it makes us feel like I can manipulate and I can move things how I want them to move. I can make people act the way they need to act according to what I need from them. We want to be in control of everything, and that's why you're stuck where you're at. You can't hang on to everything when it's falling apart. When things are falling apart, they're falling where they're supposed to fall. But we're steady out here going against the grain and just, you know, trying to make somebody do what we want them to do or trying to, you know, handle a situation to make it course correct itself, to go where we want it to go. You can't do that. You have to, it's called trust the process. And I learned that, you know, when I was going through rock bottom. And it's a scary time because not being in control, it's like taking your hands off the steering wheel on a highway going 75, 80 miles an hour, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if the car's going to veer off the road. You don't know if it's going to be, the traffic's going to stop. And you're taking a chance when you do that. But when you learn to let things go, your stress level, I can tell you, there's nothing better than not being stressed out. Your inner peace increases tenfold.
Yeah.
And your health and your mental, the anxiety is less than. It becomes healthy. But see, we want to be out there telling people what they need to do and where to go. And you can't because, again, they're going to be who they are. How you respond to that is what makes you who you are.
You know, I've had a lot of time to reflect here recently. And every time I say that, people want to know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something wrong? Because that's our human nature.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about reflection for a minute and the power of it. So I'm not reflecting on what I didn't get or my losses, although they're still part of me. I just went back east to a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a brother-in-law funeral, a man that none of us thought should have died, pass away.
Right.
A decorated, you'd appreciate this, Courtney, ex-military,
mm-hmm.
Decorated police sergeant,
mm-hmm.
decorated emergency vehicle, decorated mm-hmm. fire person. When they celebrated him, the fire department, the police department, we have video of this. The EMS department, the hospitals, the nurses, I think I'm going to cry.
Hmm?
Gave him a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade went for a mile, and they mm-hmm. stopped at all the places. And when they got to the hospital, because of how brilliant this guy was and how committed to service, the doctors and the nurses all came out in appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that he was perfect? No. Does it mean he hadn't suffered loss in his life? He did. He lost his first wife.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it a man like that can go through loss, or a woman like you can go through what you go through and then be of service to other people so brilliantly, it will make your head swim. See,
yep.
That's what we need to show people that say, I can't do it. I just lost this. I just,
mm-hmm.
But isn't that what you're teaching us?
That's the purpose. And it's so crazy how you're telling me this story right now, because just yesterday I have an officer friend of mine who I think it will be like 2 years in November. He lost his wife of like 30 years in a tragic car accident. His son almost didn't make it, but he made it. He survived. He's still healing from that. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. He called me yesterday out of the blue, just checking on me and see how I was doing and just sharing me some stories with him. And he shared with me, he said it was something that he hadn't told anybody. And he shared with me how him and his wife were on travel, and he kept having this reoccurring dream about his retirement ceremony and how he was giving all these accolades to his wife and just loving on his wife. And, you know, in the dream, he saw his wife crying, and he went up to her and said, "Baby, are you okay?" And she said, "Yes, honey, I'm fine." And he was like, "Okay." And so he said the day of the memorial service, this was in South Carolina, A lot of the chief's mess, master chief's, chief's officers, a lot of us we surprised him and showed up to his wife's funeral service. Mm. He said when he got into the pulpit to start talking about her, he stood there for like 10 minutes in dead silence because he thought about those reoccurring dreams he kept having. Mm. When he was telling giving his wife the accolades and praising her for who she has been and who she's been to him in his life. And he said, "Was this what God was preparing me for, this moment right here to speak about my wife?" And I said, "You know what? I am a believer that, yes, he was preparing you for this moment so that you could be here and do what it was meant for you to do." He said, "It gave me chills, and I didn't know what to do with it." He said, "But I just remember my wife telling me, 'Baby, I'm okay.'" I said, "She's okay." That was her speaking to you before anything ever happened to let you know that she's okay. He said, "Courtney, I don't know what to do right now with myself. I don't know what my purpose is." He said, "But you know what? I give it up." I said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to let go and let you just guide my footsteps." Yeah. I told him, "It's somebody out there that's going through what you're going through right now. You will be able to help somebody else get through because you've been through it yourself. That is the purpose of your life. That is the walk for your life. That loss, it was major." And he said, "You know what? I let it go." Yes, because now you are about to be used for what you were brought into this world for. And it was huge. It was really huge.
No, thank you for sharing that. You know, those are the stories that remind us of what loss really is. And it's all different losses. This loss, I mean, honestly, if you've ever lost a job, you feel that.
You do.
But you lost a child, you lose a husband, you lose a person, you lose a friend, you feel it. But one of the things you talked about, and I just want to ask you to talk a bit more about it, is trust. If you're not trusting the process,
right,
then that means you're trying to control it.
Or go against it.
Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I try to control something in my life, that was ugly.
Never worked out.
That was a whole lot of ugly right there. But trusting the process doesn't mean that we're inactive.
Right.
It simply means that you may not get what you're looking for immediately.
Right.
That you have to operate in a place of gratitude and trust in that next step you're going to take.
Yes. Because everything in your life is just a season, a reason, or a lifetime. It's a stepping stone to the next level. You know, at work, so I went to a new job, a new command, and I was talking to a female chief, and she was telling me she was frustrated, and, you know, she didn't want to be here. She wanted to go back on the ships. This isn't where she's supposed to be. And I said, "Time out." I said, "We're not doing this. We are not running from the challenge." I said, "You are here at this moment in your life because you have a purpose. You are needed here." And she's telling me about different things. I said, "Maybe it was called upon you to be the person to break the cycle. You are here to be an influence to the junior people that are here that need to see your face every day because you know right from right and wrong from wrong. You're not running from the challenge." But see, that fear of I don't understand. The fear of I don't know what's next because you can't control it. It's unfamiliar territory. That's what drives people to not let go. They want to hang on to it because they know what to expect. There's no unknown for them. That's why some people watch the same shows over and over again. They already know the outcome. Some, you know, you're like, I know what's going to happen. It's nothing. There's no emotional, you know, roller coaster going on because you already know what's going to happen. You know, you're in control. There's no surprises because some people don't want, they don't want to get in touch with their emotions like that. So they would rather say, you know what, I'm controlling this. I'm not doing this. Anything outside of their comfort zone, they don't want to have any parts to do with it.
Oh, my God. I love what you talked about because here's the deal, right? Look, you can be Usain Bolt. You can be the Olympic champion like lightning. You can be
right.
him, and you will not be able to run fast enough away from challenge. Challenge
nope.
comes back around because challenge shows up, right, Courtney?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yes.
you know, you're being guided to get to that path.
Right.
To get to that place where you learn something from the loss so that you can win again, right? Tell us
right.
about that.
That is, it's a stepping stone. I feel like, you know, I come up with all these analogies and I'm thinking like, you know, if you keep taking out your trash, put it in a trash bag and you just leave it there in your house. Take out next trash, you just leave it there because you don't want to lose anything. Like the hoarders, you don't want to lose anything. Everything starts piling up. How can you live comfortably? How can you mentally and physically be okay? You can't. Nothing good has ever come out of a hoarder's house, but they want to hang on to everything. Apply it to your life. Nothing good has ever came out of anything that you have hung on to for years. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, you have to figure out when to let that go. Because that is what's blocking your next level in life. That is why you cannot get ahead. But it takes that self-reflection, that self-evaluation, that getting in touch with, you know, your raw emotion and being open and vulnerable and saying, you know what, this is about to hurt. It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But I have to do it to free myself. You know, like what's that song by Fantasia? Sometimes you got to lose to win again. You have to lose to win again.
Yeah.
Because what's going on in your life is not for you. It was there for a reason, a season, and if it's great, maybe even a lifetime.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about that bridge and what you just mentioned. And one of the things you mentioned that I'm really struck by is this idea of looking at something and, first of all, understanding that you will win again.
Oh,
but
yeah.
there's something else in the show today that I want to get back to in the time we have left. It's one thing to let go. It's another thing to take a life event and see the blessing in it. That is where the juice is, though. When people hear me talk about the suicide of my mom,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a smile on my face, I will get questions from the interviewer where they don't get it, and I'll have to answer it. And my answer is simple. I said, yeah, did I miss my mom? No question. But look at my life. My mom gave me love. My stepmom gave me life lessons, perseverance, how to believe in myself,
mm-hmm.
and how never to quit. Now, what people
right.
get two moms that can teach us, but teach them both sides of the coin?
Right.
And I think if we could get to that place, and I didn't get there alone, Courtney. I had
mm-hmm.
to work with somebody like you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that the PowerPoint in your work that you do so that people just don't have to let go, that when they shift that energy, everything is possible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. As I say, you know, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. And everything that happens, there's a lesson in it. But only the people that have that third eye open, the only people who are using their entire brain and not just a piece of it, can actually see it and wrap their minds around it and say, you know what, this happened. But if it wasn't for that setback, if it wasn't for that loss, if it wasn't for that failure, if it wasn't for, you know, those trials and tribulations, if I sat there and dwelled in it, if I stayed emotionally attached to it, if I never healed from it or hung on to those individuals, where would I be right now?
Mm.
I had to let things go in my past, dealing with, you know, my stepfather who passed away. He raised me for the time I was 3. He passed away, I think I was like 15. Mm-hmm. I was 15. And some days I felt like I was going through hell and back with him. And I lost him to colon cancer in 1996. But I didn't understand it at that time because I was young. I didn't have life experience. Now looking back at it, that loss with everything he taught me made me have compassion for others.
Yeah.
That compassion is what I've brought into the military over the years, being able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody and be there for them, because I know what it feels like to not have your biological father in your life. I know what it feels like to lose a parent who's raised you. I know what it feels like to be the one getting picked on because of, you know, an older sibling did something. So now you're like, you're not going to follow. I know what it feels like. So I can sit down and relate. But those situations, they weren't always great, but that's what made me who I am. The suicidal contemplations that I had made me see people with a different eye, because now I'm tuned in to everything that you're not saying.
Yeah.
The things that you are not saying is what's speaking the loudest to me. So I have those losses, those hardships, those hard times have molded me to be a much more in-tuned, empathetic, active listening individual that, I don't know, I think I have been blessed in that aspect to now see what I didn't see before, and I use that every day, because I think sometimes it didn't have to be me. It could have been somebody else.
You know, part of what you said, too, is, you know those things that we don't say? Those are the things that are controlling our life. They're in there, and they are operating, even though we don't speak the words, we're not talking about them, not saying them.
Mm-hmm.
They are pretty much what they're doing for us is they are just saying, go here, Pat, don't go there.
Right. And they're controlling us. It's controlling. That's that bag, that back to that, you know, that bag, the mental capacity bag. You have to figure out how to discard that. That's what's weighing you down. You know, and people want to cover up things and keep suppressing. A cup is going to eventually overflow if you keep filling it. The bag won't be able to close anymore if you keep filling it. You have to deal with things and heal from things and let go what is dragging you down. That bag is dragging a lot of people down because they have not yet figured out how to get in touch, be vulnerable, and say, you know what, this happened. I'm good. I forgive you, and move on. They're still hanging on to things and not letting them go.
You know, also one of the things you and I think have in common, of course there are things that we can learn about forgiveness and letting go and grieving, but I don't know about you. I've had a number of breakups in my life, and that was a faster thing to get me to the gym than I could shake a stick at.
That is a true statement. Like, your ex always looks better after when you break. Like, well, you look good. What happened? Oh, I was going to the gym. You never went to the gym before, either. That's funny.
Oh, my gosh. I should get in a relationship just to break up to get back to the gym. No, I'm not wishing that on me. I'm not wishing that thing on me again. Look, I want to talk to you about Renew You in 2022. Everything we're talking about here is really under that umbrella, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, because we cannot give up on ourselves.
Never.
See, that's what your message is about here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not, you know, you're going to the gym or you're not going to the gym or whatever you're doing, you have to get back your renewal mojo.
Oh, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because my third book, Never Be Afraid to Eat Alone, Own Your Power and Level Up, is out now. Go buy it. I talk about that, having 5 minutes to sit down and get back in touch with yourself. Meet yourself again for the very first time. You know, heal from your past. Write a love letter to yourself. Encourage yourself to be better tomorrow. Figure out who you need to forgive in your life and do it. Don't be scared. Renew who you are as a person so that you can be better tomorrow. And just spread your glow with everybody. They'll be like, you look good today. What's different about you? Oh, I know who I am. I have found out who I am, and I'm giving you all I got unapologetically.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, how do we find out about you? How do people work with you, but how do they get your book?
So my website, unapologeticallyfavored.net, is finally up and running.
Nice.
Oh, I've been so busy. I have merchandise. You can find merchandise on there. If you are a gift shopper, a gift giver, a gift lover, You will find everything from motivational, inspirational t-shirts, coffee mugs, tote bags, wall art. Whatever is there is there. And also my books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, and you can actually purchase them through my website as well, unapologeticallyfavorite.net.
You know, Courtney, I so inspirational, but I also know you're a woman of action. There's no question about it. Anybody that works with you is going to get a giant dose of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also going to get a life of experience because you do understand loss. You do understand when you're told you're not enough or you're not good enough.
Right.
And so this is what people now need in order to really find that juice to renew.
Yeah.
To renew you.
Renew.
We have to find that.
Yeah.
I want to know what you want to tell us about that. What is your message for people that may be listening or may tell somebody else to listen? Because
we
have to believe we can do this.
Right. And I did one of my inspirational pieces of merchandise, you know, it's pictures of just women of different shades of color. And it says, actually, I can and I will. That's all it says. Actually, I can and I will. And to me, that little phrase is so powerful because no more should you sit there and doubt who you truly are. People have so much potential, so much, you know, motivation, inspiration, but we give it to other people to the point we get home and we're too lazy to work on our own goals and dreams and aspirations in life. We're like, I'm tired. I've been dealing with it. No, you take that energy. I don't care how tired you are. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on the weekends, weekdays, holidays, and I am working out because whatever you invest in yourself is what you're going to get out. It makes you feel good. If you feel good, you're going to look good. If you look good, you're always going to do good. So renew who you are this year in 2022. It's January, about to be February. 10 more months of this year already left. But, you know, that's the renew who you are. Meet yourself for the first time in 2022.
I want to just say to people that you're not just talking about this. People can work with you and, you know, find that place that you can help them. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, almost always, I've needed a lift up. Yeah. I've learned the power of asking for help from another person.
Yes.
And if there was anything here about Unapologetically Favorite or Renew You in 2022, I know it's your passion to make sure that people don't have to do that alone.
Never. You should never be alone. I'm always here. I put that out to everybody. You know, even the young man that contemplated suicide Friday, I said, I want you to take my number. Anytime you feel like you need to take a knee, anytime you feel like you've hit a dark spot, I don't care what time of day it is, you need to call me, and I will help you out. I said, we're going to walk this path together.
Thanks for tuning in to Unapologetically Favored. When you stop worrying about what others think and start walking in your purpose, you allow yourself to grow, you discover all the gifts you have to offer the world, and everything begins to shift from uncertainty to possibility. Can't get enough? Unapologetically Favored is also a book. Bring home a copy and learn more about Courtney by visiting unapologeticallyfavored.com. We will see you right here next time. And until then, keep walking in your purpose.